WBSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
Morning, happy Wednesday to you. Welcome into a new day here on the program. Welcome into the middle of January. Well, I guess January is, what, a 31-month day, so we're not quite at the halfway point yet, a little bit later on today. But this is it. This is what it's going to be like in 2025. We're a few weeks in. This is 2025. Who knows what else is in store for this year, but we've got a lot in store for you today. Coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, we're going to be joined by Corinne Williams of the CEDC to talk about the Capitol Theater Project, to talk about what it's actually all about, and a little bit about what the CEDC does. But we'll talk about what the Capitol Theater Project is all about, why dates have been pushed back, why more money has been requested, what the final plan is, and separate some of the myths from the actual facts. But just a programming note for you for today. Chris McCarthy texted me this morning. His cold has gotten the better of his voice again, as happens to all of us this time of year. So he's going to be out today. Brian Thomas will be in for you coming up at 9 a.m. And as such, Chris is going to reschedule the mayor. So we will have Brian Thomas in from 9 to noon today for Chris McCarthy, and Chris will reschedule the mayor to be able to address issues such as the closure of the Morna Lounge and the homicide that happened there and all the other news of the week. And we had more incidents of violence last night. Well, we had an arrest yesterday in a case in Abington in which a man was found dead in his yard. And two brothers were arrested in connection, including one from Taunton. And then we had the teen girl in Easton who was shot in the face yesterday afternoon. So these are just more increased. The thing in Abington, the murder in Abington happened a little while ago, but the idea is still we are in this increased period of crime, of violent crime. So we can talk more about that as well. 508-996-0500. That's the number to call in and be on the program. We have a call coming in. Good morning. You're on WBSM. Hi, you're on the air. I don't hear anything. You'll have to call back. I don't know if somebody accidentally dialed or maybe their phone was on mute or something. But the number to call is 508-996-0500. We also have app chat open on the WBSM app. We have open line voicemails open on the WBSM app. And I'm going to ask today, if you have a few moments in your day, it doesn't have to be right now. It doesn't have to be even during this show. But if you have a few moments during the day, open up the WBSM app. Hit the open line voicemail button and record a message. Record a message that says who you are, where you live, and why you like to listen to WBSM. Whether it's on the radio, whether it's on the app, whether it's on the live stream on the website, let us know how you listen and why you like to listen. And I'm going to take all the people who enter those and put their names into a virtual hat. It's actually a random generator that picks winners for us. And we'll give a seize the deal to one of those lucky folks. You know, we'll probably collect some throughout the course of the week and then select a winner at the end of the week. So open up the WBSM app, hit the open line voicemail button, and record a message. Tell us your name, where you listen, how you listen, and what you like about WBSM. And you'll be entered to win a seize the deal to a local restaurant. We also have the contest ongoing to win tickets to see Sarah Silverman at the Vets next Thursday, a week from tomorrow. And that's going to be a fun show. It is the postmortem tour. If you've never seen Sarah Silverman live, she's very, she can be very profane, but it's very, very funny. But it will be a no cell phone show, just so you're aware. That means that you'll have to either leave your phone in the car, or when you get inside, they'll have you put it in one of those Yonder pouches so that you can't record the show. But it's still going to be a great show. And, you know, it's when you go to a stand-up comedy show, what do you want with your phone anyway? Because you don't want to get distracted by something else. You want to stay in the flow of the comedy. I mean, if you're taking photos or videos or whatever, that's why they're trying to stop you. They don't want that stuff leaked before whatever they're planning with that material comes to fruition. And I get it. Some people don't feel comfortable leaving their phone when they have a babysitter at home with the kids or what have you. Then, you know, this is probably not the show for you. But if you are interested in winning tickets, there's still a few available left. It's mostly sold out, but there's still some tickets left at thevetsri.com. But if you want to enter to win a pair of tickets, you can go to WBSM.com or the WBSM app and enter in all your information. And that's brought to you by Tim's Tickets. I'm sorry, Tim's Tickets are brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. 115 Huddleston Avenue, the home of the purple dot where you can try before you buy. And where you can get some delicious mocktails here if you're celebrating dry January. But we thank them for sponsoring all of our ticket giveaways here on the program. So we can talk more about these incidents of violence that have been going on. If you want some happier news, I have the story up this morning on the website and on the app about the new owners of the Boston Tavern in Middleborough. You hear me talk all the time here on the show about Brack's Grill and Tap and Grill. Sorry. If I can get my mind going in the right order today. Brack's Grill and Tap. You hear me talking about them in Brockton and Taunton. They also have the Brack's Cafe in Newport. But now they're going to have a new location, and it's going to be Brack's at Boston Tavern. They're working to finalize the purchase of the Boston Tavern in Middleborough and incorporating some of what you love about Brack's with everything that you love about Boston Tavern, keeping the staff, kind of refreshing the building a little bit, refreshing some of the decor, new signage, and kind of taking the best of both worlds and putting them together. So that's pretty exciting. And of course, when it comes to good news, you know, there's always a lot of bad news on the website because that's just the news business, but we try to balance it out as best we can with some other stuff. But Barry had the article yesterday. Portuguese food aid on its way to New Bedfordites down in Florida. New Bedford City Councilor and local business owner Ian Abreu is planning on bringing a bunch of your New Bedford favorites that you just can't get anymore down to New Bedford Day in Florida this year in Fort Myers and have that available for sale. So you can read more about that at WBSM.com and on the app. And also an article from Jackson at Fun 107, who is a former employee of the Sunbeam Bread Bakery in New Bedford, over there on Coffin Ave. He was one of the nighttime cleanup crew. But he wrote a little piece kind of reflecting on what it was like to work there and getting to smell the fresh bread every day. And if you would like to share your Sunbeam Bread memories, whether you work there or whether you just enjoyed the product, you can go on over to our WBSM Facebook page and share your memories there. Now, I didn't really go there or know much about it, but we got Sunbeam Bread delivered from there to Wareham to the Mill Pond Dino when I worked there. And our bread guy's name, I can't remember his last name, but I know his name was Dave. And he was like the nicest guy. We got a delivery every day. And Dave would come and talk with us about, you know, he'd shoot the breeze with us for a little bit. And he was just the nicest guy. I don't know what happened to him, but Dave, if you're out there, shoot me an email, tim@wbsm.com. But I was heartbroken when they closed down and we had to start getting bread from somewhere else. And it just wasn't the same. Now, we didn't get Sunbeam bread at the diner, you know, the actual Sunbeam white bread. We got a different line that was more for commercial use. But every once in a while, Dave knew I liked Sunbeam. Every once in a while, he had an extra bag or a day-old bag or something, and he'd leave it on the rack. Also, I was a huge, huge fan of the Vienna bread. There is nothing like, I love a good tomato sandwich. Any time of year, just slice some thick slices of tomato, put it on some lightly toasted white bread with Hellman's mayonnaise. That's it. I don't need anything else. I don't want any cheese, no bacon, salt, not even salt and pepper. I don't need any of that. Just Hellman's, tomato, and lightly toasted white bread. But it was never any better than it was on the Vienna bread. And if you're going to have bread and butter with your dinner, which we did back in those days, especially if we went over to my grandmother's house, she always had bread and butter to have with your dinner because you had to dip it in the gravy, dip it in the sauce, whatever it might be. My grandfather was a big dipper. And Vienna bread with some nice room temperature butter, you know, you leave it on the counter, dip that into your marinara sauce. Oh, yeah, good stuff. But Jackson shares his memories in that story, and you can share yours as well with us on the Facebook page, or maybe you want to leave an open line voicemail with that. Call in and share your Sunbeam memories on the app. We can compile them all together and play them in a little package here on the air. But we've been very fortunate here over the years, not just in New Bedford, but on the South Coast overall, that we have had some very legendary products that were made here locally that actually would go on to be things that were loved nationally and internationally. Like, think about what we have now. I mean, go drive down 195 into Wareham late at night. Open your car windows and inhale. No, you're not going to smell weed. Well, you might. But the closer you get to the Wareham Industrial Park, the more you're going to smell the wonderful scent of Chatham Village croutons. That's probably the closest thing I'd say we have right now to the old days of Sunbeam Bread when they were in operation. But when you are driving around and Chatham Village has those ovens fired up and they're toasting those croutons, I'm not a big garlic person. I'm not a big crouton person. But I love the smell of those garlic croutons when they are baking in those ovens. So I'm just going to ask that question today amid all the more serious topics that we can discuss. I'm going to ask that question, and it can be good or bad, but what are the most memorable smells on the South Coast? That could be when a factory was running and you remember what the factory was putting out. That can be, you know, what it's like when you have the really low tide and you're down near the waterfront. It can be working in the fish houses. What is the most memorable smell on the South Coast? You can give me a call, 508-996-0500. Or send the app chat message or the open line voicemail on the WBSM app. I'll also put it up on our Facebook page as well if you want to weigh in there too. But right now I've got to take my first break of the morning. We'll be back in just a few moments. Everybody keeps retreating. The song from every 80s movie in which somebody falls in love. I can just imagine, hey, the director's meeting with the producers. Hey, we've got this scene, this pivotal scene in the movie in which the two main characters finally realize that despite all their challenges and despite the way that they've treated one another and everything that's gotten in the way, they really are in love and they really are meant for each other. We just need the perfect song to fit that moment. I've got it. We've got to use Let Love Open the Door, Let My Love Open the Door by Pete Townsend. The licensing for that song must have been extremely cheap, and that's why it was used in all of those scenes over the years. It had to have been. But anyway, it's still a good song, but not exactly what you're expecting from Pete Townsend, right? But if you if you're in love with somebody, send them that song. They'll be like, "What are we in an 80s movie?" Anyway, we'll take more of your calls coming up 508-996-0500. But right now, it's time to go into the newsroom with Phil Devitt.
The death toll increases and some arrests in the Los Angeles wildfires. Who's skipping Trump's inauguration? And good health news from the royal family.
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
At least 25 people are dead as a result of fires in Los Angeles. 8 people died in the Palisades fire. 17 people died in the Eaton fire. Firefighters facing challenging conditions now in their battle against the wildfires, with powerful winds forecast that could cause extreme fire behavior in the blazes or turn any new spark into a raging inferno. Although so far, CNN reports those winds are lighter than feared. The Los Angeles Police Department has arrested 14 people in connection with the Pacific Palisades wildfire. An official says 3 noteworthy arrests of arson suspects took place outside the fire zone on Sunday and Monday. Other offenses range from failing to meet curfews and impersonating a firefighter and police officer to vandalism and burglary. President-elect Donald Trump's choice for Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth vowed on Tuesday to foster a warrior culture at the Pentagon and confronted allegations of sexual assault and excessive drinking, questions about his derisive views of women in combat during a heated Senate confirmation hearing. Hegseth repeatedly deflected the various misconduct allegations and instead focused on his own military experience in the Army National Guard. This is senators determine whether the combat veteran and former TV news show host is fit to lead the U.S. military. Former First Lady Michelle Obama will not attend Donald Trump's inauguration next week, according to her office, which did not provide an explanation for the decision. Former President Barack Obama is confirmed to attend the 60th inaugural ceremonies. Michelle will not attend. That's all her office will say. The decision to forgo attendance at the swearing-in is a break with tradition for the ceremony in which former presidents and their spouses typically participate. All living former presidents and their wives are expected to attend. Michelle, also not in attendance at a memorial service last week for former President Jimmy Carter, remaining instead in Hawaii. Government inspectors documented unsanitary conditions at several Boar's Head deli meat plants, not just the factory that was shut down last year after a deadly outbreak of listeria poisoning. This according to federal records. Newly released reports from Boar's Head plants in Indiana, Arkansas, and Virginia describe multiple instances of meat and fat residue left on equipment and walls, dripping condensation falling on food, mold, insects, and other problems dating back roughly 6 years. Last May, one inspector documented general filth in a room at the Indiana plant. The U.S. Agriculture Department released the inspection records in response to Freedom of Information Act requests from the Associated Press and other news organizations. And Catherine, Princess of Wales, reveals that she is in remission from cancer following a visit to the London hospital where she was treated last year. Catherine, in a post on social media, spoke of her relief to now be in remission and that she remained focused on her recovery. She said, quote, "As anyone who's experienced a cancer diagnosis will know, it takes time to adjust to a new normal." The 43-year-old said, "I am, however, looking forward to a fulfilling year ahead."
WBSM Sports.
Bruins beat the Tampa Bay Lightning last night. Now on to a game with the Ottawa Senators on Saturday. And the Celtics and Toronto Raptors are up first tonight at 7:30.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Sunny and windy for your Wednesday, a high of 30 degrees. Mostly sunny on Thursday, a high of 31. On Friday, sunny and a high of 38. On Saturday, partly cloudy. Increasing clouds at night and a high of 45. And on Sunday, mainly cloudy with a chance of rain or snow late, a high of 39. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy, only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
Welcome back in. 508-996-0500. App chat and open line voicemail on the WBSM app. And I asked the question this morning, as we're talking about other things as well, but I asked the question, what are some of the most memorable smells on the South Coast, whether it be good or bad? And this comes from, you know, based on Jackson's article at WBSM.com and on the app, remembering Sunbeam Bread in New Bedford. And we've already got some answers coming in via our Facebook page. Scott says, and again, the question is, what are the most memorable smells on the South Coast, good or bad? Scott says Clark's Cove along Cove Road at low tide. Jeff says Gifford Road at the farm in Westport, also now known as Cow Dung Corner, but he doesn't use the word dung. And Lisa says walking into Benny's. That's a great one. Benny's definitely had its own kind of smell to it when you walked in. It smelled like if 20 years ago had a scent, and it doesn't matter whether you walked into to Benny's in the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, the 2000s, whatever. It always smelled like 20 years before whenever you were walking in. And it wasn't just that. You know, you can walk into a hardware store, you can walk into an automotive store, and you get some of those smells of cleaning products, you know, and you get those smells in different areas. But Benny's was like the perfect mixture of all of those together. You could walk in and be like, I detect bicycle pump, a slight hint of truck tire, and Armorall. Like you got a little bit of everything when you walked in there. That's a great one. Great call there, Lisa. We also got some app chat messages answering that question as well. Dave says, not on the South Coast, but I occasionally had to travel to Haverhill, Mass for work. The building I had to go to was close to the site where they made Cedar's hummus. Strong, strong smell of garlic. I actually like the smell. Yeah, that's, I can imagine. I mean, I like hummus. I don't love garlic, but I like hummus. But I can imagine that a garlic hummus has a very strong garlic smell. And I still like the smell of the Chatham Village croutons, even though I don't love garlic and I don't eat croutons. Usually if they come in a salad, I'll say, I don't need the croutons if you can hold them out. But if they come in it, whatever. And if I have them, sometimes I eat them. But I'm just not a big fan. Like if I'm making a salad at home, I'm not buying a box of Chatham Village croutons to shake into the salad. I'd rather have some bacon bits, maybe. But most of the time, well, I shouldn't say that because a lot of times my salads at home consist of, you know, that bag of salad mix, maybe a little bit of shredded cheese and some bacon bits with some dressing. That's what I'll make for a salad. But if I'm actually making a salad, like not just throwing together a couple of ingredients and calling it a salad, then I'm making a Greek salad. And of course, you're not going to put croutons in a Greek salad. But every once in a while, I get the hankering for one. And rather than go out and buy one, I'll go out and buy the ingredients for it, make a big bowl of it, and then have it again for the next couple of days with the leftover ingredients. But I go all out. I get the feta cheese. I get the olives. Like I don't skimp on any of the ingredients. But yeah, that's the question that I'm asking today. What are some of the most memorable smells on the South Coast? Good or bad? And you can either send in an app chat message, you can send in an open line voicemail, you can put it on our Facebook page, or you can call in 508-996-0500. But there's other stories too that we can discuss this morning. As I mentioned earlier, we will be joined by Corinne Williams of the CEDC to talk about the Capitol Theater project in the 8 o'clock hour. We'll get to the bottom of what people are saying about the project and what it actually is all about, why more money is needed, why the completion date keeps getting pushed back. And here's, I'm going to give you a spoiler alert. There's very reasonable reasons for all of those things. And it's not because Corinne Williams or somebody is just finding ways to skim millions of dollars or that they're just trying to waste CPA funds or whatever else it may be. There is a plan in place, and we're going to talk about what that plan is. Also, spoiler alert, it doesn't include housing illegal immigrants. But we'll get into all of that coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, and we will welcome your phone calls and questions for Corinne Williams during that time. And another reminder that Chris McCarthy is going to be out today. He's lost his voice a little bit from the cold that he's been battling. And that's the thing. We've all been battling it. And now it's on its second round coming through. I noticed that Barry sounded stuffed up yesterday. I noticed Chris was sounding a little stuffed up yesterday. And I'm starting to to cough and sneeze a little bit more again, and I just shook it. But this might be the nature of how this winter is going to go. And I'm sure a lot of you are feeling it. And I'm cool with it just being colds for everybody when there's all, you know, everybody's worried about the norovirus, COVID's resurgence, all that. If we're just getting run-of-the-mill colds that just mean we have to suck on some cough drops and drink some throat coat tea, that's fine. But also the other part of it is, as people who just sit here and talk for 3 hours straight every day, it does put a strain on our voices. But thankfully, Brian Thomas is available to come in and cover today for Chris McCarthy. So he'll be in here at 9, and Chris is going to reschedule the mayor's appearance for when Chris can be back here. Another story that we have at WBSM.com and on the app is the worst kept secret on the local restaurant scene, something that people have been talking about now for quite a while, because for the better part of a year, Brack's Grill and Tap has been trying to acquire the Boston Tavern in Middleborough. So you can read more details about that on the website, on the app. And we're seeing a lot of the changes in the restaurant industry. You know, one of the things that people keep talking about is the menu that Brack's has, and like, oh, it's just going to be another typical pub fare restaurant. Brack's does things a little bit differently, as did Boston Tavern. And we're starting to see people getting more creative with that standard pub fare. A lot of them have that same type of menu because that's what people come out and want to eat. It's not that they're saying this is what we're going to force you to have. It's that that's what they know they can pack the place and be able to stay afloat with. But they're also starting to find ways to get creative about it too. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Hey, good morning, Tim. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
Good, thanks. You're speaking about people being congested. I do listen to Barry, and I have noticed the last couple of days that his voice sounded like he was getting congested. But I know that he had mentioned, like, maybe a month ago that he was sick and then kind of got over it. But, you know, at this point in time of the winter right now, I don't know, like, especially January and December. I know there were the holidays and, you know, everybody gets together, you know, we all share the great, wonderful, viruses that are going around. But there seems to be something different or strange this year for the winter as far as what's going around. So myself included, and a lot of my family members and a lot of friends that I know, they have gone to their doctors or urgent care. They get the COVID, RSV, and the flu swab, nose swab. And a lot of them, including myself, have gotten a couple of, within a month's period, chest x-rays, because one of the big problems is the chronic cough, or the major cough that you get with whatever symptoms. Now, some people have had spiked fevers that they can't shake, and others have not. But what's strange is that all the people that I've talked to, their results on these nose swabs have all come back negative. And on the x-rays, when people think, you know, they have pneumonia or something going on because of the cough, are all negative. So, and then they won't give you anything because they say it's not a bacterial infection, because nothing has come back positive. So you have to kind of deal with it, and it just really lingers. And like you mentioned a little while ago, the other thing is, you know, you seem to get over it. It feels like, oh, you know, I'm getting over this. And then boom, like 3 or 4 days later, it's back, whatever symptoms you had. And, I don't know. I know that they're giving out a lot of the same antibiotic to people because for some reason I don't know. I guess maybe they don't know what it is, so they're just prescribing that particular antibiotic. But I just feel there's some kind of new virus going around, and I think the medical field don't really know what it is. And, you know, because, I mean, it's strange. You know, I mean, in the past years, you know, you would test positive for, you know, COVID or the flu. And this year, it seems that with all the people that I talk to, they keep getting told that all their tests are negative. So it's pretty frustrating because whatever this is, it really does linger. I can tell you that. I'm going on a month now. You know, that I can't shake it. And believe me, I've tried everything. I've tried the, you know, the whole honey with lemon and, you know, ginger. I've tried the salt water gargling. I've tried, you know, Mucinex. I've tried the Tylenol. I mean, Robitussin, you name it. And I don't know, it just doesn't seem to do anything. So I don't know, like, what's going on this year.
I was talking to a friend of mine who does voiceover work. And he went to the doctor because he couldn't shake it. He's had this cough and scratchy throat, and his voice hasn't been the same since, he said, probably since about Thanksgiving. And so he went to the doctor and asked about what it was. And the doctor told him something that I thought was pretty interesting. And I don't know how much of it is true. This is just kind of the doctor's theory, he said. But because we've been so dry around here, that everything is kind of dried out. We don't have the moisture in the air that we would normally have that would help keep us lubricated. So we're dealing with a dryness in the air combined with a cold, and that cold, you know, the cold air, rather, not you having a cold, but the cold itself, the cold weather, and that kind of makes it even worse on your throat, giving you the cough, even causing you to sneeze. And so his suggestion to my friend was sleep with a humidifier on. And then when you're at work, especially because, you know, at work, he's got to keep his voice lubricated so his throat will work, you know, sit in your office with a humidifier on all the time. And he said he's done that, and it's helped him out. So that there may be something to that, you know, maybe what we're just experiencing is this big bout of dryness. And when we get enough moisture back in the air, maybe that'll help balance things out.
Yeah, I hear you, but, you know, I also, I'm not a, you know, conspiracy person, but, you know, with a lot of things that have gone on, you know, with the whole COVID thing where, you know, they were able to get away with, you know, that whole COVID episode of pulling what they did, you know, sometimes, and again, I really don't believe a lot of that stuff. But sometimes, you know, you got to wonder, like, you know, is there something in the air we don't know about that the doctors don't know about? Because, yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, I know in the wintertime, you know, you really need the air is so dry, you know, because of the heat in the house and everything else. But it's just weird how there's certain things that in the past, in the winter, when people get colds or they get the flu, you know, stuff usually works to help them clear up whatever they have. And for some reason this year, like you said, a lot of people have had stuff since Thanksgiving, and they just can't shake it, which is, you know, just a weird situation. But anyway, I just, you know, I figured I'd call in and chime in on that. You have a good day.
Thank you. You as well.
Yeah, bye.
And we got to take a break. We'll be back in a few moments. Well, if you are fighting anything, if you are having, you know, symptoms of anything, the most important thing to do, of course, wash your hands, especially where norovirus is going around. And imagine having that and dealing with that. You can find out more about it. You can find out more about how to prevent it by going to WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Michael Rock has a great article in which he speaks with a local doctor about the rise of norovirus on the South Coast, what it means, how you can combat it. But the number one thing to be doing this time of year, no matter what, wash your hands, cover your mouth when you cough or sneeze, wipe down surfaces. And don't be like all of us here at WBSM sharing the same microphone. So luckily we have a little bit of sanitizer we can spray on it between shifts. But that's why when it's like when you have a kid in a classroom at school, you know, one of them gets sick. Eventually all 30 of them are going to get sick. It's kind of the same thing here. All right. Got to take one more break for this hour. We'll be right back. Hold me tight, babe. Don't leave me by myself tonight. welcome back in. Now, we're going to be taking a break for the news in a moment, but El Jefe sent an app chat message and says, for colds, I swear by Zicam, absolute go-to when fighting a cold. What's your go-to for fighting a cold? Let me know on the WBSM app, and we'll talk more about some of that. My mom, when she was a kid,